No, I'm fine.
He's all right. Right there. Pick it up, do it. Yeah. We just want to tape. Yeah. God bless you, brother.
Tape to put up in the garden and run the crows off.
No. The time is yours.
I appreciate that. Brother Gary's talking about sitting in those hard chairs all day. He'll try sitting in this thing all day long. It's not easy. So, you know, standing up, as I come before God's people, I stand in fear. As I sit, I still in fear. So it doesn't make it therefore I'm standing or sitting, I'm still in fear of God, not you, but of God, that he might not bless. And I trust if he doesn't bless, that he gave me sense enough to know just to quit and sit down and not bother God's people. I don't want to be a hindrance to God's people. But I've had some thoughts upon my mind, and as Brother Gary said today about sitting down, that's been on my mind this evening. And I want to go to that here in a few minutes there where Jesus was there with the lake, but I want to go a little before that. And maybe by the grace of God and his help that we might expound on the Word of God to a point that we might all see a little more clearly of the Scriptures. And that's one thing that I trust that God's people do is read and study. Amen. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, says, read and study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed.
Amen.
Has someone ever come up to you and asked you about, well, don't the Bible say this? And you said, well, I really don't know. But you know what? We ought to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have upon our breast. And how are we going to do that unless we read and study and meditate and pray to God that he would enlighten us with this word that's left here for our learning? He just didn't leave it here by chance. He left it here for God's people as an instruction. We know that the Bible says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instructions, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto good works. So that's what we need to do, is to study the Bible, read and meditate and pray. And I emphasize that praying. Because we need to pray to God, because it is the one that's going to enlighten us. We can read all day long. Unless God opened our eyes, we're not going to be able to see it. Amen. Unless he opens our heart to understand it, we're not going to understand it. Kind of getting away from what I want to talk about, but that's all right. If I'm covering the Bible, I'm still in the home plate, still in the ball field of it anyway. But I want to go back over in the book of Luke, the 4th chapter. And we know that Jesus was preaching there in Jerusalem, and then he came down to Galilee. And in the 4th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse, he says this: and he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Now, this word that I'm thinking about this afternoon is not my word, nor the written word, nor the preached word, but the word of the Son of God. How much power, how much authority does Christ's word prevail amongst us? You know, I find a lot of times that Jesus is telling me something to do in the Scriptures. And if I take heed to it and follow the teachings and follow what he says do, it's for my benefit.
Amen.
It's going to teach me something, a lesson in life that I need to learn if we'll listen to what Jesus tells us to do. And it says this: and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Wow. He already recognized who Jesus was. He's the Holy One of God, and he knew that when Jesus spoke, something's going to happen.
Amen.
He knew that if he told him to get out, something's going to happen, and it does. He says, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him no more. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirit that come out." And the fame of him went out to every place of the country round about. I think about this a lot of times. When Jesus speaks, the world turns upside down.
Amen.
When Jesus speaks, we better listen. When Jesus speaks, we better see what he's telling us. Don't just shrug it off and say, "Well, I'll look at it next week, or I'll read it next week, and if he says something to me, I'll try to do it." We ought to do it right then. I think about over in John's writings where he said, "My sheep hear my voice." Now, there is many voices going out into the world today, the voices of man, voices of so-called leaders and ministers of false doctrine and false practice. But we need to discern the spirits. Tell if it be of God or if it be of man. When Jesus speaks to his sheep, the sheep hear him. They cannot refuse it. They can't turn a deaf ear to it. They can't turn their heart away from it. When Jesus speaks to his sheep, they hear his voice and they follow him. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus has the power and the authority to lead his children in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I've heard people say, "Well, you better not follow this. You better not believe that." Well, brother, let me tell you, if Jesus Christ tells you to do it, you ought to do it. If he tells you what kind of doctrine to believe, you ought to believe that. And I tell you, children of God, I believe that God and Jesus Christ has told me to believe the doctrine of salvation by grace, because there is no other doctrine but Christ's doctrine himself. They were astonished at his doctrine and the power of his word. I tell you, it never ceases to amaze me when I read the word of God where Jesus tells somebody to do something and they do it, saying they're not going to do it, but they do it. He told Peter that he would deny him three times, and Peter went ahead and done it anyhow, didn't he? But I'll tell you, my friend, Jesus had the power to stop it if he so pleased to stop that. But I want to go on a little bit further. And it says, and he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. A Simon's wife's mother was taken with great fever, and they besought him, be him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and ministered unto them. How about that? Isn't that amazing? It's just like I tried to preach today about the elders laying on those that are sick and afflicted. We didn't heal them, but we petitioned God to.
Amen.
That's what they were doing. They called upon Jesus to come to look over Simon's mother. And all he had to do was look, and the fever left. What about Lazarus? He said, "Oh, Lazarus just sleeping." He just speaks, said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he come forth. Lazarus didn't say, "I'll be there shortly. I'll come in a few minutes," but he come immediately. I like it when Jesus speaks. I thought about this. There, when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, and there one thief on one side and one on the other, and that thief on the right hand. And you know, I kind of look at this. The Bible says that God's people are on his right hand, and the goats are on the left hand. This man that was on the right hand, he rebuked the other one, didn't he? And he said, "This man has done nothing." And he said unto the Lord, said, "Remember me when thou come into thy kingdom." Well, Jesus spoke and he says, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." I'll tell you, my friend, he didn't say you had to get down and go be baptized. He didn't sit down and say, "Go and join the church," or "Go and do this good work or that good work." He said, "This day." When Jesus speaks, it comes to pass. You just think about going back before the foundation of the world when God Himself in Christ and the Holy Spirit spoke these worlds into existence.
Amen.
They just spoke and there was light.
Amen.
Spoke and there was darkness.
Amen.
Spoke and there was water and there was the earth and the moon and the stars.
Yeah.
And we sang that old song, "Who flung the stars in the sky?" It is Jesus Christ that done it, and He just spoke it into existence. He didn't have to work at it like you and I work at something. He just speaks and it comes to pass. My friend, even when they were walking along beside the Lake Genesaret and many were turning and leaving Jesus, and He looked over at His disciples and said, "Will you go also?" What did Peter say? He said, "Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." I tell you, my friend, is that not comforting to a little troubled child of God that Christ Jesus has the words of life?
Amen.
He says, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." Brother, and I love the shalls and the do's of the Bible when Jesus is doing it. I don't like my shalls or my doings, but I like His far above mine. When Jesus tells me that, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest," we ought to do that. Are you troubled sometimes with the things around you? Are you listening to what Jesus is telling you? So much of the time we're off running our mouth and doing the things, we're not paying attention to what that small, still voice within us telling us to do. You know, I'm not like some. I've told people, I said, "Are you from Missouri? You have to be showed." You know, I have to be showed a lot of things, a lot of times. But I want to tell you, when Jesus speaks, we better listen. We better listen to what Jesus says if we're going to have a better life in this world. I tell you, when Jesus speaks, we need to be listening closely to that small, still voice. Now, Jesus is not going to come to you and take a hammer and knock you on the head and say, "You better do this." He's going to come and speak to your heart, children of God. He's going to lead you by that pulling of that heart, and He's going to encourage you and bring you in such a way that you want to do these things. Well, I've had people tell me years ago, said, "I'll never be an old Baptist. I'll be everything in the world, but I will not be an old Baptist." But I'll tell you, one time, sometime along pathway of life, the Lord speaks to that little heart, doesn't He? And He changes that little heart. He puts in a heart of flesh one to know the Lord, one to feel the Lord, and next thing you know, here they are in the old Baptist church. And they make good old Baptists because they've seen the other side, and they don't like the other side. "I've seen the other side. I know what's over there. I don't want to go over there. I want to stay here where there's peace and joy and men and brethren and sisters that listen to the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." I want to live, children of God. I want to live in a home in glory one sweet day, but I want to live here too. I don't want to live a life out here where there's corruption and trials and tribulations all life. I want to live in the church. I tell them it's a sad time when church is over and we got to go back out in Egypt. I tell you what, there's so much corruption in the world today. The how sweet it is just to be in the house of the Lord, to hear the word of the Lord being preached by men called of God, not of men, called not of daddy or mama or brother or sister or wife or children, but called of God Himself, and blessing them with the Spirit of God to bring forth this message of sovereign grace, this message of comforting joy to His people. As you told over in Isaiah, it says, comfort ye my people. I hope tonight that I say something that will comfort you if you're troubled in heart and body, soul and spirit, that the words of God might be comforted, that Jesus send forth His word crying unto us and comfort us on the troubles of pathways of life. His word, children of God, is comforting.
Amen.
To speak.
Yes,
when He speaks to a little lonely child of grace, speaking those words of comfort and joy. Oh, I tell you, children of God, how sweet it is to set under the sound of the gospel. How sweet is the gospel to you? What does it mean to you? Is it uplifting, or is it just something men have said? You know, I came into the old Baptist and I came hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And I'd listen and hang on to every word that old brother was preaching. I'll tell you, and I began to think, well, that's not him saying that. That's God telling me through his ministers, his servants, what I ought to be doing, and you know, I got ashamed sometimes. I had to pull my feet back under me because they were stepping on my toes, because I wasn't doing what I should have been doing all along, and I regret it, because now I find that if I listen to the voice of the Son of God, my life's going to be a lot better. Yours is going to be a lot better. We're going to walk in that straight and narrow way. We're not going to walk in the way of destruction. We want to serve the true and living God, and if we can do that, children of God, we're going to be blessed. We're going to have blessings poured out from heaven, which sometimes we can't even receive them all. I believe that we've been blessed this weekend over to Catoctin. Many joys come to my heart, and I just overwhelmed at times. And because I've heard the voice of the Son of God. Oh, my friends, when Jesus speaks, let us listen. Or, and it says, when the sun was setting, all that had any sick with divers disease brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed with him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God into other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he came to preach the doctrine of Christ. He came to preach the doctrine of God in other cities. And he called men to do that. And he went about doing that. And it said, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered to one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. That's what Brother Gary was referring to when I said about sitting. Yeah. I'm sitting, I trust, tonight in the old ship of Zion. I'm not Christ, but if I'm a servant of God, I'm to preach the gospel, because it says in the fourth chapter, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recover of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, I'm preaching, I hope, tonight by the Spirit of God telling you that it's time. Children of God, that you clean out the wax out of your ears, and you begin to listen to the voice of the Son of God. And when you hear that voice, be obedient. Just as I want to read just a little further right here. And it says, and when he entered into that one of the ships was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little more of the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I want to tell you, children of God, he didn't say just sit there and listen to what I say. That there is something for God's people to do. If you hear that voice, it's not time to sit there, well, what did he say? I'm bad to say that. What did somebody say, you know? But when Jesus speaks, we better listen. And he goes on to say, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master. See, he recognized who Jesus was. And he said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. That means that he had fished all night. Now, I don't know how he was fishing or what he was fishing for, but he wasn't catching anything. Right. I'm sure he was pretty well give out and his eyes bloodshot. And he is wanting to lay down and take a nap, like most of us want to do. But the Lord told him this. He says, I have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Simon didn't want to, but he says, Master, I know who you are. And I know if you tell me to do this, I ought to do this. And he did. He let down the net, and lo and behold, it filled the net full. I want to tell you, children of God, sometimes I want to let the net down as a minister of God. I want to catch all that I can catch and bring them into the ship.
Amen.
You know, we're to preach the gospel to the poor and the needy and to set it naught, you know, them that are bound and the blind and give them sight. I can't make you see, but I can preach the word to where you can see if God has opened your eyes.
Amen.
But it's going to take God to open your eyes. I can't open them for you. I can't open your ears, but God can. You see, God can do anything. He's not restricted like you and I. He has all power both in heaven and earth. He works His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And there is none that can stay His hand or say, "What doest thou?"
Amen.
Brother, I tell you, how many times have you ever heard someone say, "I'll do this, Lord, if you'll do that"? Oh, my friend, let me tell you something. You don't tell God what to do. He tells you what to do. He leads you in the way that you ought to be led. And to follow the leadership of the Spirit is both joy and peaceable. You follow the spirit of the devil, I guarantee you, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have persecutions. Now, don't get me wrong. You follow the Lord, you're going to have the same thing. But I'll tell you one thing. When the Lord said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," you can take that to the bank. Because He's going to be with you both day and night, wherever you go, whatever you do. He's going to be there to comfort you and aid you many times. And you know, I've heard people say, "Well, I'm going to turn this over to the Lord. Let Him do it." You know, the Lord don't always work in your favor. He don't always do the things for you because He's given you that strength and knowledge to do these things on your own. Paul says, "I can do nothing of myself, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me." That's where our strength comes from. That's where the voice of direction comes from. He tells us and He leads us and shows us sometimes to how to get over tribulations, how to come out of the valleys. And I'll tell you, my friends, He can tell us how to come off the mountain too pretty good. I've been on the mountain many times and thought, "Well, I'd just love to stay up here." But the Lord said, "It's needful you go down in the valley one more time." Because you get to be high and mighty if you're up on that mountain there. And you're going to begin to think you're something when you're really nothing but the dust of the earth. But I'll tell you, my friends, even though He leads us down in the valley, He's the lily of the valley there to be with us. And He'll guide us through the troubles and the trials and across the brooks and the streams. And we're not over drowned. He says, "When thou passest through the waters, they'll not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, it'll not consume thee. It'll just burn off the dross." Brethren, aren't you glad today that you can hear the voice of the Son of God and know what to do? If we didn't hear the voice, we'd be blind leading the blind out here in this world. And I trust that I'm not leading the blind, but I hope that I'm helping the blind. I hope that we're walking together in brotherly love and in the grace of the Almighty God under His guiding hand and under His voice of the leadership. You know, they don't always, people don't always listen to what the Lord has to say. Even when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt across the Red Sea in there to the desert place, they didn't listen to the voice of Moses and be still and see the salvation of God. They began to make golden idols and all and began to worship. I'll tell you, they just brought destruction upon themselves. And we're that way sometimes when we fail to listen to what the Lord is telling us to do. You know, the Lord, I believe, taught me years ago. He says, "Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset me, and run the race that's set before me." And He says, take up my cross. Now, this is very important, children of God. When He says, take up your cross, you say, "Well, what kind of cross am I bearing?" I'll tell you, we all bear a cross daily. And those that are seeking after righteousness and hunting for righteousness and peace and joy in the Lord, you're carrying a cross. You're carrying a burden upon your back, my friend. We got to lay it aside. We got to take it up and bring it to Christ because He's the only one that can take that burden off. He's the only one that can lift that off your back that you might have a freedom to serve the true and living God both in spirit and in truth. And He says, take up your cross and follow me in the way of baptism. I'll tell you, my friends, people say, well, how important is the church? I'll tell you, to me, it's my life. Without the church, I wouldn't have any life. Without God, I wouldn't have any life. And without the church, there is no joy and peace in this world. Because the world don't know how to give me peace. But Jesus says, I give unto them peace. Not as the world giveth, but as I giveth. Now, I want to tell you, when Christ gives you the peace, you've got peace. I tell you, when he sets you free from all of the bondage and all the burdens of life, I'll tell you, he set you free. You're free indeed. He didn't say that all things is going to just be a bed of roses. I'll tell you, my friend, I remember back many years ago, I'll say 52 years ago, some gentleman told me, he says, being married is not going to be a bed of roses. And I'm sure that y'all have all found that out too. Serving God's not going to be a bed of roses. But I want to tell you, it's much better if we've got the Lord on our side than we've got Satan on our side. I want the Lord on my side. I want him in my corner fighting for me and going before me. He said he'd go before me and take care of everything. And the Bible says he did. He said he went to the grave and sweetened it for us. I'll tell you, when he done that for us, I'll tell you, is that not the worth thinking about, that he sweetened the death for us and the grave? Oh, my friend, and then he's not going to leave us alone. He's coming back once more without sin unto salvation to gather up every hour of promise, everyone that his voice touched, while sometime between conception and death and born them of the Spirit of God, he's coming back to gather them home one sweet and glorious morning on the morning of the resurrection. I'll tell you, I can't hardly wait for that time to come. I wouldn't care if it come now. I said, come quickly, dear Lord. The quicker it come, the better off we are. We don't have to put up with all of these things in the world. But we can have a sweet time with Jesus. But if I know my heart, we've had a sweet time this weekend. We're having a good time tonight. I'm enjoying it. I don't know who you are, but I'm enjoying it because I feel the Spirit of the Lord upon me tonight and teaching me that denying ungodliness and worldly lust that I should present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable duty. Brethren, I tell you, when you do that, you listen to the voice of the Son of God, and he that listens and do what the Word of God tells them to do, you're blessed. Amen. You've been given that peace of mind, that hope. And it says, he says, and I have taken nothing, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. When they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. That's just about like sometimes, children of God, I've been in meetings when I could feel the Spirit so strong that the net around my eyes began to break and the tears began to come. My friends, isn't that a sweet time? Isn't that a joyful time? How do you think Simon felt when he'd fished all night and hadn't caught a thing and then let down and caught so many fishes that the nets break? And they had beckoned unto the partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. My friends, how would I feel, and Brother Gary feel as ministers, if we preach the gospel and cast out our nets of the gospel and begin to bring them into the field, the church pews full? Oh, I tell you, there wouldn't be enough praise in my heart to God for what he's done. Wouldn't you enjoy that? You know, on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 were added to the church, what a day of rejoicing that was. I tell you, it's even rejoicing today when one little sheep that's astray has come home to the fold. I tell you, is there not shouting in Zion? Is there not joy among God's people for the return of one little sheep? Oh, but can you imagine this net being brought in? And it says, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. So was also James, John, and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. If the Lord tells you to do something, what did he say? Forsake all. He says, you cannot be my disciple unless you forsake mother, father, brother, sister, wife, children, your job, all of these things. Now, when it says forsake, it doesn't mean just as forsake that. We're not to put them ahead of serving God.
Amen.
Whenever you put them ahead of serving God, I've heard men say, well, I can't be at church Sunday. My wife's got a party she's got to go to. Putting the woman ahead of serving God. When you do that, what do you expect? Do you expect a blessing? I don't. I expect punishment. And I know my Lord can punish, and he can punish hard. But when he blesses good. But he says, if you're not willing to sacrifice those things to serve me, you cannot be my disciple. I want to be the disciple of the Lord. Do you want to be a disciple of the Lord tonight? I want you to go home tonight, and I want you to... There's just hundreds of places in this Word of God where Jesus speaks. Find out what Jesus is telling you. Seek him while he shall be found. And when he knocks, answer. That knocking is that speaking to the heart. When he speaks, you answer. And when you do that, children of God, then you can be his disciples. And you walk in the newness of life. And life's going to be a whole lot better. You'll probably even get $1 million for it. Is that right? I don't think so. You're going to be blessed, but you're not going to have all of the things. I've heard men say, well, I've asked the Lord for a new automobile, a new home. They might get it, but the blessing from the Lord, just to have the peace of mind in serving God, is greater than all of the silver and gold that this world can contain. Because we know that our salvation, our lives, was not bought with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he speaks, he is our elderly brother. You know, we ought to listen to our elders. As growing up in a big family, I didn't have but one older than I am brother. But I'd listen to him once in a while. But I'd definitely listen to my daddy and mama. And now I try to listen to the elders of the church, my elderly brothers, and listen to their advice, because they've trotted some paths I haven't trotted. They've went down some roads I haven't went down. But we're all still under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still under his voice. We're to beckon to his call, not be slack, but beckon immediately to his call. And when we do that, children of God, I'm assured by the word of God that the blessings will come. May not be in the form that we want it to come, but it's going to come. Because he loves you, he cares for you, and he does not want you to go in that broad and destructive way. He wants you to stay on that path of righteousness, that straight and narrow way that leads into life, joy, peace, and earth. On earth here with the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you is our prayer. Hope some of these thoughts might take an effect, that you might read and study to be approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May God bless you is our prayer.
Lord, it was good to you, Brother Gene.
Thank you, Brother.
I
praise the
Lord. You owe that so much. Thank the Lord. You getting that? Blessings and obedience to God's little children.